Car Convos. I'm Maddie Mitchell, and I am your host today and always because, well, quite frankly, this is literally my podcast, so who else is going to host it? Happy freaking Monday, and merry freaking Christmas. So crazy. Reporting to you live on Christmas Day. I'm kidding. I'm recording this literally 2 weeks in advance, but that's really none of my business, nor is it yours. I'm so glad you're here with us. I'm so glad you can be with us on this day. I'm sure most of you who celebrate Christmas are probably not listening to this episode on Christmas Day, and that's totally fine. Literally could not be more fine with me. I appreciate you whenever you listen to this, though. It's important to me that you know that. This is our last episode of the year, which is crazy. That is so crazy. Last episode of 2023. What a fabulous year it's been. A great, great year for the podcast and for myself. And I hope it was a fabulous year for you. And if maybe it wasn't the best, I hope 2024 is everything you've ever wanted it to be and more. And I just want to give a huge thank you, as I do almost every episode now. I'm starting to get a little bit redundant, but thank you so much to anyone who has supported the podcast this year. It really does mean the world to me, and the podcast has grown so much in the past year, and that is continuously just like the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I recorded last week's episode just yesterday, but we already have reached the goal for both Spotify and Apple Podcast ratings. I wanted to hit 500 five-star ratings on Apple Podcasts and 1,000 on Spotify. On Spotify, we have 1,200 now, which is crazy. And on Apple, we just got over last night at 505, which is amazing. But this is your reminder, as we have 1 week left in the year. If you haven't done that, now would be a great time to do that. It can be your Christmas present to me. That would be so much appreciated. So that's just something you can kind of mull over as you listen to this episode and you think, is this bitch really five-star worthy? I really hope that your ultimate conclusion is yes. Yes, please. Thank you. Thank you so much. So this week's episode is a listener write-in episode, also known as a smorgasbord episode. If you're new here, what that means is just that I get to read things that you guys have written in, which is really fun. But it's kind of all over the place. Some people are asking for advice. Some people are just telling me fun stories. Some people have questions. It can be anything that you want it to be, which is really fun. And I do one of these episodes once a month. It's been a while since we've done one of these, though, because it was at the beginning of November that I did the November one. And now, obviously, it's the end of December. So it's been a while. So there's been some things cooking in the Google Doc. So I'm really excited to take a peek at all of that. And thank you again to anyone who writes in, because I love recording these episodes and I know you guys like listening to these episodes. So they literally would not be possible without you doing that. So thank you so much. Also, quick reminder, if you're listening to this podcast in your car, feel free to take a picture of this podcast on your screen to be considered to be this week's passenger of the week. Or if that's not an option for you, you can also submit a Parked Car Convos themed meme. I am eating up the first submission that we had for this. It was so good. And everyone in the comments was just like loving it. And it just is so cute to have cute little inside jokes amongst all of us. So I really am loving that that's also an option now and that people are actually doing it. That's really cool. So anyways, that's just a quick reminder. I'm going to do Peak and Valley of the Week, but full disclosure, like I said, I recorded last week's episode yesterday, so not much has happened, but I really did like scrape the inside of my brain. Disgusting visual. I take it back. I was really trying to like conjure up something so that we didn't have to skip Peak and Valley of the Week this week, because that just seems like a kind of a bummer. My peak of the week, something else that happened within the last week, I got my Christmas tree, which is funny that now this is coming out on Christmas Day. I promise I did not wait until Christmas Day to get my Christmas tree. I went with my dad to get our Christmas tree. We get a real tree every year. I am very much anti-artificial Christmas tree, and just because I think I'm better than everyone else. No, I'm kidding. I just think there's something fun about an authentic Christmas tree. Smells good. It just, knowing that it's real kind of brings me joy. I don't know. I don't know. I just can't imagine getting a fake tree. But that being said, my dad and I are very picky when it comes to Christmas trees. I haven't even gone with him the past few years to get a tree because I think I was weighing him down. I think me offering my opinion was kind of like slowing down the process, and it is hard to pick out a real Christmas tree because you like when you're looking at it in a Christmas tree lot, you're like, is this good? I don't know. It's hard to actually envision it in this space that you're putting the tree. Do you know what I mean? So that kind of always like trips me up. And then anyone we've ever gotten looks fab, except one year when I was really little, cause we have our living room has, like higher vaulted ceilings. Is that a phrase that I used correctly? I don't know. Jury's out, but our living room has much higher ceilings than like the rest of our house. Which is fun because then we can get a really tall, big Christmas tree to like fill the space, which I love. But one year when I was little, we got like the fattest Christmas tree. I'm going to try and find a picture of it and post it on the podcast Instagram at parkedcarcombos.pod, by the way. If you're not following, what the heck are you doing? What the actual heck are you doing? Anyways, we got this Christmas tree one year and it was just like fat and round. Like it was not even in the shape of a Christmas tree. It was so wide. It took up so much space. But I loved that tree. Our tree this year is fab. It's like the perfect shape. It's the perfect size. It's amazing. It's amazing. I have no complaints. But I did go with my dad to get it over the weekend. And like I said, it was my first time going with my dad in a couple years because as aforementioned, I think I was kind of slowing down the process. And so we went to this place, which is the same place that my dad has gotten the Christmas tree for the past few years. And we didn't find anything. And I was like, shit. I'm bad luck and that's not good. That's not good. I don't want to be weighing this team down. You know what I mean? But then we went to this other place and literally the first Christmas tree, this place was, it's very sad looking because they have all the trees just like laying down on the ground. None of them are standing up. So we literally had to like pick these trees up to get a good look at them. And I was holding this gargantuan 8-foot tree. And as I'm holding it, my dad's like, wait, this one's actually perfect. It was the first one we picked up. It was beautiful. And so that's the story of how I was bad luck, but then it was the best luck ever, which is always a great story. And our Christmas tree looks amazing. And I just like, there's something about having a Christmas tree up that is just so cozy. It's just the best thing in the entire world. Another peak of the week is that this podcast, the one that you're listening to at present, is now officially recommended by doctors. Yeah, you heard that right. So I got a DM yesterday. I posted the podcast on my Instagram story telling people to go listen to it, obviously. And this person replied and said, my trauma therapist recommended your podcast to me and I have been obsessed. Are you kidding me? So whoever's trauma therapist is, if you are the trauma therapist and you're listening to this podcast, thank you from the bottom of my literal heart, because something about being able to say that doctors actually recommend you listen to this podcast is doing something hauntingly dark to my ego in a really, really great way, in a grand way, actually. I am just eating this up. This podcast is officially doctor recommended. And I had a couple other people then reach out to me and say, oh yeah, my therapist told me about this podcast. That's amazing. God, that is so amazing. It is kind of hard carrying this burden of being everyone's favorite podcaster, but at the end of the day, literally someone has to do it. And I'm more than happy to kind of step up to the plate. Anyways, I promise the narcissistic segment of this podcast is over. For Valley of the Week, all I had written down here is other people's thoughts and opinions, which is kind of true in perpetuity when you think about it. Other people's thoughts and opinions are kind of always a valley. Recently though, it's just been, and I know I've talked about this a little bit on the podcast, just the interesting dynamics of parasocial relationships, which is something that really just in this past year has played a big part in my life, which is crazy. And in so many ways, you know, the internet is such a great, fun place for a community and for forming these really cool relationships. And I love that part of it. And then there's obviously just this really weird kind of like backwards downfall of all of that too. Like I said, I love the podcast community. I love that we all have like these inside jokes. I love when you guys, people are always like sending me memes and they're like, oh, this is none of my business. Like, I love that. That's so cool that we can like bond and connect over something. But then there's times when it's like, oh, this is weird. This is weird. And I know the thing that I've talked about before on here is like when people are kind of joking around with me and kind of being like lightly roasting me. And I've said that that is so strange because I don't know them. So as much as they think that this is just like, ha ha, funny, and I'm just joking around with a friend, that's like not how it's being perceived because I don't know you and you're a stranger and you're just kind of being mean to me for no reason. And so that's like a really, that's one interesting dynamic that I've seen. But this other one that's been super present in my life recently, unfortunately, is getting these like weird backhanded compliments slash advice on my appearance and the way that I do my makeup or my hair or the clothes that I wear or whatever the case may be. And it's kind of the same thing, just in a different way, because it's these people that feel like they have a connection to me and feel like we're friends. And again, if your friend was saying, hey girl, you know, you didn't plunge your makeup into your neck, like, which my mother loves to remind me all the time, like, that's one thing. That's one thing, because I know you and I love you and I trust you. And I know that what you're saying to me, you're saying out of like love and just looking out. You're looking out, good looking out, right? But when it's a stranger on the internet, that's not how it's perceived. Do you know what I mean? So the other day, this woman who follows me and, you know, seems to like my content, like she seems to like, she interacts with my stuff. She clearly likes me. Okay. There's no not weird way to say that, I promise. But she tagged me on TikTok. She tagged me in this video, this random video of this random girl who was doing this like bit where she was overlining her lips like excessively. And she tagged me and commented and was like, girl, this is the way that your lips are headed. You know, you have beautiful natural lips, like trust that. Like, I don't want to see your lips looking like this, like blah, blah, blah. That's so strange. That's such a strange thing that you felt compelled, because first of all, once again, you don't know me. You don't know me at all in any capacity besides, you know, viewing and kind of consuming the content that I choose to put out on the internet. And imagine seeing a video that's completely not related to me in any way, shape, or form, and your first thought is, I need to reach out and tag this person that doesn't know me and that I don't know and let them know that this pertains to, like, that's so, I can't even fathom a world where I would do that. Because again, it's not like people tag me all the time in videos of people saying things that are like none of their business, or people sharing the bits that they do and things like that. And that's obviously a totally different thing, because it's like, oh, I think you would like this. You know what I mean? But to tag me in something where the end goal is to be like, girl, you need to stop doing this. And that's just, oh, so strange. And I replied back to her in a moment of weakness. And I said, okay, but literally who asked? Like, it's so bizarre because I have made it so abundantly clear on the internet that I'm never open to alternative feedback. And I really do mean that from the bottom of my heart. Like, I know I say it as like a haha joke, but like it's also for real, because I'm not out here asking for tips on how to do my makeup or for how to fucking line my lips. I'm not doing that. And so if I'm not asking for your opinion on it, why are you giving it? That's so weird. And again, I could tell by like the phrasing of her comment that she wasn't, I mean, I think backhanded compliments are insults, like when you break it down. But I could tell that she wasn't actually like trying to be malicious or mean. It's just this like weird misguided notion that she is close with me and that because of that, I would want to hear her opinion. And maybe this sounds really fucking harsh, I'm sorry, but like, that's not how it's perceived to me because I don't know you. You are a stranger to me. And it's very, very strange. And it's something that just like keeps popping up in these different ways. And I keep like mentally kind of dissecting them because it's just unlike anything else I've literally ever experienced in my life. And it's so, it's really bizarre. And it's really, I mean, I also think I would never, ever comment on another human being's appearance ever, unless positive, on the internet. You know what I mean? Unless I'm like, oh my God, you look amazing in this outfit, or, you know, your eye makeup looks like, it would never even cross my mind to comment something negative, constructive or otherwise, on another person's post, especially someone that I didn't know. Like, I can't even fathom that. And then to put it in this like warped context where she's offering help that, again, I didn't ask for, it's just, it's so weird. And also, so often, this is like kind of not really relevant, but so often these people that are telling me how to do my makeup or whatever, they don't even have profile pictures. And so I'm like, why on earth would I take your word for it? I bet you can't even do winged eyeliner. Where's your resume? Show me your receipts. I'm not seeing them. And again, not that that's even really relevant, but it's just kind of like pertinent because it's like, you, for someone who has a lot to say about my appearance, it's crazy that you don't even feel comfortable showing your own face on the internet. Like, what, you know what I mean? And also, I make videos every single day where I show my face. And so I just feel like it's generally speaking pretty safe to assume that if that's something that I feel comfortable doing, I'm relatively okay with the way that I look. Obviously, I'm a human being and I have insecurities, but obviously I feel comfortable enough in the way that I look to be recording myself and to be putting it out there to the internet where it can reach so many different people. It can reach technically anyone. Anyone can see this, right? And it's just, it's weird out here. I'm not going to lie. These are just, like I said, things that are popping up. I also had someone, sorry, this is like a random tangent that I'm sure is actually kind of really unrelatable, but it's just kind of like weighing on me right now. So I'm speaking about it, but I also received, this was like months ago, but I got this like super aggressive vitriolic hate comment in regards to my opinion. And this woman had, I don't know if I talked about this on here. I could have, but I don't even remember the specifics of it. But she was literally a mother to a little girl, and she was commenting on my appearance, and that made me like nauseous for so many reasons. Because first of all, it just goes to show, you are a grown ass woman that has a whole ass child. Why are you on the internet trolling people? And so I was feeling petty and was in once again a moment of weakness, and I commented something back, and I was like, it was something about how she's a parent and like, how are you as a parent saying something like that? Like, that is so beyond me. And she made some comment about like, well, you're an influencer, so this is kind of what you signed up for. And I remember thinking, what the fuck? Using that as a guise to just be the worst version of yourself and to be so hateful is like, okay, well, yeah, but you should be able to take this because this is what you do. What? That's such a strange excuse for you to say the most like nasty thing ever to another human being. Like, that's so weird. And it's just so backwards, but that really is people's rationale a lot of the time, which is scary and like sick and twisted. And it's not even that like her comment upset me and had me thinking like worse about myself. It's just the way that people are so comfortable is so concerning and like so scary. But anyways, past the Ox song of the week. I feel like every week the transition from the valley of the week where I'm like, my mental health is trash. Anyways, I've been listening to Underneath the Tree by Kelly Clarkson. It never gets less funny to me personally. I really have been listening to Underneath the Tree by Kelly Clarkson. Also, Shake Up Christmas by Train, fabulous Christmas song. But once again, you're probably listening to this episode after Christmas, unfortunately. You can still listen to it though, because this week that we're all kind of headed into is the official Twilight Zone. Last week of the year in between Christmas and New Year's is the Twilight Zone. Anything goes, literally anything goes. So I wish you well in your twilight zone. I hope that you guys are feeling, I hope you can lean into it. I hope you are granting yourself the permission to lean into it. Also, another random thought that I'm having right now. I wish that Boxing Day was as big of a deal in the US as it is in other places. Because I listen to other podcasts that from people that live in the UK, and then I know Boxing Day is a pretty big deal in Canada too, but I just like wish Boxing Day was a thing, because isn't it, it's basically like another holiday. It's like a whole other thing that's also like denoted as a holiday. It's not here at all. And I think it's sad, because I think Boxing Day would kind of help elongate Christmas and make it feel like less of just like, okay, Christmas Day, and then it's over. So that's just like, I'm jealous. If you actively celebrate Boxing Day in some capacity, I'm really jealous of you. But super besides the point. Okay, why don't we jump into your listener write-ins? Alrighty. First up, we have boyfriend of 7 months and I broke up because he's quote unquote not able to prioritize a relationship right now and still wants me in his life. No bad blood, but I don't need any new friends. So true. Or a front row seat to him fucking around when he is literally citing a lack of time and energy as cause to break up. Cut him off? Question mark. Listen, you clearly already know the answer. You already know the answer. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because even as a friend, what good is that? What good is that? Someone who can't prioritize you? Even your friends should be prioritizing you to some extent, right? So if he's not having any time or energy, which also would love to know why. Was he recently sworn in as president of the country? I doubt it. That's kind of one of the only things I can think of that would really have an impact on being able to be in a relationship, you know, time-wise, time commitment-wise. Was he, I don't know. I think all of us can agree that you can make time to prioritize whatever the fuck you want to make time for. It's just when someone says, oh, I'm not able to prioritize this, what they mean is I'm unwilling to make sacrifices in order to prioritize this. And that, when you flip it like that, into the truthful version of that statement, you realize, oh yeah, I don't want you in my life. Why would you want someone in your life that can't make time for you? That's not fun. And again, I think that goes for anyone in any type of relationship you have. You want friends in your life that make time for you, right? Same goes. So it's just kind of, yes, cut them off. You don't need that. You don't need that. And also saying that he's not able to prioritize a relationship, but he still wants you in his life, is just feeling like he's wanting to have his cake and eat it too. And generally speaking, I'm against men having their cake and eating it too. So it's a hard no for me. Cut him off. Cut him off. Okay, next up we have a story time. Okay, story for you. I live in a city near a lot of historic battlefields that date all the way back to the Civil War. My uncle recently took up metal detecting as a hobby. Hard stop for a second. I do think at one point in my life, I will go balls to the walls when it comes to metal detecting. I just see that in my future. I think it has something to do with the fact that I am an elderly person in my heart of hearts. That's something I could find myself getting really, really kind of caught up into a point where it could destroy relationships in my life. That will be me not being able to prioritize a relationship because I'm so heavily invested in my metal detecting. If that is his excuse, maybe we should cut him some slack. Going back to the last girl, if your boyfriend decided he can't prioritize a relationship with you due to his newfound hobby and love and passion for metal detecting, we should be cutting him some slack. That's the only exception though, in my mind. Okay. Anyways, back to the story. He started taking his metal detector out to the battlefields. One day he found, this is like the most old man thing. I don't know how old your uncle is, so I'm sorry if I'm accidentally like aging him here, but like going out to the historic battlefields and metal detecting, come on. That's a stereotype of an old man, if you ask me. One day, he found what he was sure would be the find of a lifetime, an artifact he was sure dated back centuries. He was thrilled when he dug it up and wrapped it in tarp. I'm so sorry, but I just realized that in metal detecting, I would also have to be digging. That part is not sitting right with me, actually. I would like to find things, and then I would just like for them to become naturally extracted to the surface without me having to lift a finger. That is sounding more like a hobby that I can get behind. So, I mean, hit me up when that kind of invention and innovation comes out of the metal detecting community. He was thrilled when he dug it up. He wrapped it in a tarp, put it in his truck bed, and sped home to show my aunt. When he brought it inside, my aunt, horrified, told him basically to get the fuck back outside and call the cops immediately. My uncle had dug up, threw in the bed of his truck, drove miles on the interstate back home, and proudly presented to his wife an undetonated bomb. Okay. First of all, I'm just kind of needing to know why your aunt had the immediate foresight, insight. She had all of the sights. How was she immediately able to detect that this was an undetonated bomb and your uncle was not? Does she have some sort of tactical training when it comes to explosives? Like, I'm needing to know how she was like, what is that? And he was just like blissfully kind of unaware. Or was he aware? I don't know. Maybe I'm spoiling the whole story. I'm just going to keep reading, actually. The whole way home, he was thinking of ways he could get rich off of it, including plans to sell it on eBay. My aunt called the police, who in turn called the bomb squad, who in turn called the military. Beautiful. Beautiful. So it's like the holy trinity, the police, the bomb squad, and the military. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Their entire block was closed for the whole evening. He had dug up a Civil War era undetonated bomb, and no one knew how to respond because of how dangerous and unpredictable it was. Awesome. The military confiscated it immediately and blew it up in a remote location. My uncle actually had the thing rolling around his truck bed under a tarp on the interstate. It's a miracle he didn't get blown up. I kept a photo of him holding his most prized possession, the undetonated bomb, sadly, right before they confiscated it and destroyed it, just in case I needed a good laugh. Wow. That is crazy. So it seems like he did know that it was a bomb, and he was just like not finding himself able to care enough about how dangerous it was, which is actually, that's definitely giving old man when you think about it. At its core, it's giving. Also, just like, this is when I say we should be channeling the ego of a man, this is what I mean. He just like sped home with this undetonated, also bombs from the Civil War. Like, what? Those things have to be, I mean, excuse the pun, I guess, but they have to be like loose cannons. Like, we don't know what those are. You know what I mean? That was a while ago. So that technology has evolved so heavily in a bad way when we're talking about, you know, this kind of brand of technology. But wow, that is something. But he just didn't care. He's like, I'm just gonna make a quick buck off of this. Oh my god, sir, you could die. What do you mean? Wow, it is tough. It is tough. But I mean, good for him, I guess. He could have also saved someone's life, potentially. What if that bomb had accidentally detonated itself? I guess I don't know if it could do that underground in a Civil War battlefield. I don't know. I actually don't know the ins and outs of those things, believe it or not. Okay, next up we have a question. How do I escape my family potluck at a reasonable time to begin my 3-hour drive home? Cousins are stage 5 clingers. Yeah. Ooh. We hate to see it. Also, I fear that you will hear my response to this question after your family potluck, and that is nothing if not super unfortunate. That's my bad. Totally. I really did struggle with when to do the listener write-in because I had a feeling people were going to ask some like holiday-related ones, but I had so many other holiday-themed episodes that I wanted to do in the month of December to get our spirits lifted. So this one kind of did take a backseat. That's my bad. But how do you escape your family potluck? First of all, let us remember to just do it. This is when Nike's motto really comes into handy. Because they can't literally hold you hostage. And I think sometimes people get so caught up in being polite. You don't have to. I mean, you don't have to be rude, but you can just say, hey, I'm really tired and I have to drive 3 hours home, so I'm going to head out. And you can, at that point, be not open to receiving alternative feedback. And it's really important that you can kind of make that clear. It's all, what it is setting a boundary. Because if you say, all right, I'm going to hit the road, you know, long drive ahead of me, and then they're trying to swindle you into staying, and they're saying, no, but wait, we're about to break out Monopoly. Don't you want to play? No, I don't. I actually don't. You know, and you don't have to say that to them, but that sounds like personally a nightmare. But you could just say, I would love to, but I have to really get going. You just have to be staunch in your belief system. You know what I mean? And not back down, because this is one of the situations where you give an inch, they take a mile. So they're like, oh, but wait, we were just about to have Christmas cookies. And then you're like, okay, fine, I'll stay for a Christmas cookie. Christmas cookies turn into Monopoly. Do you know what I mean? Monopoly turns into let's watch Elf together. I'm going to make some popcorn. Elf turns into, I don't even know what Elf turns into, because I personally have never had the issue of leaving somewhere. I leave places the second I'm uninterested, unfortunately. I can't be bothered to stay there. I also just, I similar to an elderly person, hit a wall, and I'm like, if I'm not in my bed within a reasonable time frame, I will just become the worst person to be around. Not in like a gross, like cranky, grumpy toddler kind of way. I hate that, obviously. I hate when grown human being adults act like children when they're like tired or hungry. That really is something I hate to the core of my being. But I just become the worst person to be around in terms of like, okay, I will be non-responsive. I will just be like talking to a wall. Like you don't want me to be in your presence after a certain point of time. So anyways, I don't know if any of that was helpful. Just set your boundaries and don't waver. You just have to not waver. And you should always have a couple of things to go off of. So it's like, okay, I really have to start getting going because, you know, my drive home is 3 hours. That's an excuse in and of itself. And it's important to remember that. 3 hours driving home, no one wants to, because having that looming over your head too just kind of makes it hard for you to have fun. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, you get there. That's exciting for a little bit. But then it just gets to a point where it's like, ugh, I just want to be home. And I know that in order to get home, it's going to take me 3 fucking hours. Like, no, you have to kind of beat it to the punch. But then also have a couple things in your arsenal. So when they're like, oh no, but what about this? What about this? I'm sorry. I'm just like really tired and I don't want to fall asleep at the wheel. Aunt Lucille, is that okay with you? And you don't have to be that aggressive, but you can add in, you know, a couple, I'm tired, a couple, I have to get home and check on the cat or the dog or your neighbor's cat or dog, because your neighbor asked you to check in on their cat and dog while they were away for the day, for the holidays. There's a few other things you can have in your back pocket just as kind of little add-ons. They're kind of little extras that you can tack on if necessary that will help you maintain your boundary. And that's something that we should all always kind of have ready to go. In any given social situation, I have like 30 reasons that I could get out of it at a drop of a hat. And that's something that is important, I think, always. Okay, next up, we have some more family drama, it looks like. My aunt, and she wrote this in quotations, she says she is my significantly older cousin. Okay, so not actually her aunt, just an older cousin, but she refers to her as an aunt. Okay. Is obsessed with me and my siblings' lives. Okay, I'm already not loving this. My mom had me fairly young. She was 22. And my quote-unquote aunt was a junior in high school when I was born. She does not have any kids of her own and is now in her late 30s, and I'm 19. I have two brothers. One's 13 and one's 8. And the 13-year-old was on a very successful baseball team, and they were able to make it to the Little League World Series. I can't even exaggerate when I say that my aunt spent thousands of dollars in customized merch for his baseball team. She would nonstop post him on social media. He does not have social media and does not even see these posts, right? Because he's 13. That's great. It's great that your 13-year-old brother doesn't have social media. I think that's awesome. Not the point literally at all, but I just wanted to say that. Okay. To the point where some people thought that my brother was her son. Oh, I'm hating that. I'm massively, massively hating that. That's kind of icky. That's sketchy. I'm not liking that at all. 6 months later, she is still posting pictures of my brother and his whole baseball team. Parents of other kids have reached out to my parents asking her to stop posting their kids. Oh, God. That is bad. That is bad. I also have reason to believe that she is stalking me. I am a very avid gym goer. Good for you, first of all. And she is aware of this. One time I got a random text from my aunt that proceeded to give me critiques. Wait, no, sorry. I read that wrong. I read the next line. That's my bad. One time I got a random text from my aunt that basically said one of her friends goes to the same gym as me and was watching me work out, then proceeded to give me critiques that her friend relayed to her through text. She said that she asked her friend to keep an eye out for me at the gym and said she was happy to give me pointers. Weird as fuck. I still have no idea who this quote-unquote friend is, and it makes me want to switch gyms. My parents think I should get a restraining order on my aunt because it's not the first time she has done this. Anyways, I love your podcast. Wow. That is scary. I also don't think she's asking for advice in any capacity. I think she was just sharing the story with me about her aunt, the stalker, but that is, I think you absolutely should get a restraining order. These are, again, this is another great situation where you, if you give someone an inch, they take a mile. And so this seems like another, all of this comes back to setting boundaries. If you are able to set a boundary, and by the way, I'm not blaming you in any way, shape, or form because this is so uncomfortable. But I feel like if you are able to like set a clear boundary in the form of a legal restraining order, I think that would be like a really good way to lay down the law, no pun intended. But also, this is one of those things where I feel like if she seems like the person where like if you reply to her text or if you humor her in any way, shape, or form, it will make her that much worse. So I think taking like dramatic action and being like really, really clear hopefully would get her to back off in some capacity. But I'm sorry that that's happening. That is really, I'm not loving that for you. That does not sound fun, to put it really, really lightly. Okay, this person wrote in, I think it was supposed to be a holiday horror story, but they wrote it into the wrong form. Just another quick reminder. If you want to write into the listener write-in episodes, which are non-specific episodes where you can write in about, you can tell me a story, you can tell me, you can ask me for advice, you can ask a question, you can ask me a would you rather, whatever you want, whatever you want. If you want to write into one of those episodes that is not a themed episode, that link is always in my link tree. It's in the podcast show notes too. You can always write into that link whenever, and I view them on a rolling basis. If I'm asking for specific themed story times, those are separate links that I'll post in my stories, which is why you should be following the podcast on Instagram. And you should make sure that you are writing into the right link, because otherwise, in this situation, I didn't see the holiday horror story because it wasn't with all the other holiday horror stories. It was in this doc instead. Just a reminder. And if you ever see that I'm asking for a themed story and then my story is gone, just shoot me a DM and I can send you the link for that. Okay. But anyways, I wanted to read this story, so we're going to read it. Holiday disaster. I worked at a coffee shop called Dutch Bros. I know Dutch Bros. I have never been because there's not one near me at all, but it's a drive-through coffee chain from the east making its way around America. I work in one in a smallish town in Texas. When I'm working, it's usually at night because they have school during the day. Gotcha. Okay. I was a shift supervisor one night 2 weeks ago, and we were out of peppermint. So any coffee worker will know that during the holidays, everyone and their mom goes crazy for the holiday peppermint flavor. Yes, and you are in fact referring to me. Thank you so much. I'm kidding. They probably aren't, but in a weird subliminal way, I think they are. So this one lady comes through and asks for her usual peppermint mocha. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, but we're completely out of peppermint. She says, what? And I laugh it off, thinking that she's messing with me. She then asks to talk to my manager, and I said, I'm the one in charge of that night's shift. She then gets out of her car and is in my face and says very loudly, listen here, I've been coming here every day and all of a sudden y'all are out of peppermint. And at this point, I was laughing at this lady yelling in my face, and I said, I'm sorry, but there's nothing I can do until the next stock comes in. Then she screams like a child, I want my peppermint mocha, and sits on the ground in the drive-thru. No. Keep in mind, this coffee chain is only drive-through, and the car behind her was getting upset, and the couple behind her was laughing. I then ask her to leave, and she says no countless times. The cars finally honk at her enough for her to get up and drive her little behind home. Crazy how people get over coffee in the holiday season. That is fully, fully fucking insane. Fully insane. Also, like, there has to be other coffee shops near you where she could get a peppermint mocha if this was, like, this was a couple weeks ago. So it was, like, during the holidays. Go to any other coffee shop. And if Dutch Bros is anything like, I mean, I feel like Dutch Bros might be fewer and far between. But, like, in Massachusetts, there's a Dunkin' Donuts literally every mile. So there would be no excuse for you to just go to a different one. You'll be fine. Getting out of your car in a drive-thru, though, that is beyond kind of insane behavior. I can't. And this, it's just, I mean, we talked about this in the holiday retail episode, too. The way that people are just, like, so entitled, and when they don't instantly get what they want, they flip a switch and make it everyone's problem is so concerning. Because how are you a functioning adult? Like, actually, how are you functioning? So weird. Ew, I hate it so much. Anyways, I hope you are able to push through the holiday season, and hopefully it'll get better once your holiday flavors are gone. Sometimes I think holiday flavors are probably, they must be the worst things for coffee shop workers, and I really do. I feel so bad. Especially when some of the drinks are, like, so complex and, like, convoluted. It's like, oh, I feel for you. Okay, this person asked, what are your favorite and least favorite astrological signs, based on overgeneralizations, of course, from a fellow Taurus? Thank you so much for asking me something that I love to speak on, actually. As a Taurus, I love other Tauruses, obviously. I really, really do. Every other Taurus that I've ever met, I'm like, yes, no, yes, fully yes. And I think I kind of feel that way about earth signs in general. So, like, also Virgos and Capricorns for the most part. And then I love water signs. My best friend is a Scorpio, and she really is, like, textbook Scorpio. And she's also a Cancer moon, very much textbook Cancer moon as well. And so I've always gravitated towards water signs. But then two of my other best friends are fire signs, Aries and Leo. I went through a time period where I knew, like, 45 Leos, and I honestly, like, loved it. I think for a long time I was gravitating towards fire signs because they're so much more extroverted and, like, outgoing than I am. So there's, like, a good balance there because I'm more introverted and kind of quiet in a lot of settings. And so it's nice to have that balance in, like, friends. Like, one of my best friends is an Aries, and she is, like, textbook Aries, and she's very outgoing, and she's, like, never felt fear in her life. She's never experienced social anxiety a day in her life. And, like, I love that. And I love that she just, like, balances me out in that sense. And she is really just, like, such a vote of confidence to be around because she is so, like, confident in so many social situations. So I definitely gravitate towards fire signs as well. But so I don't know, because otherwise I would say that, like, I'm not, Aries is definitely not one of my favorite signs, but then, like, my best friend is, so that's confusing for me. And, like, same with Leos. Like, I know so many Leos that I love so much. But again, like, I wouldn't be like, oh, I love Leos. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I would say Tauruses, Scorpio, Cancer, Pisces. Also love a Libra. My mom is a Libra. Also, me just, like, telling you everyone in my life and what their sign is. My brother's a Sagittarius. And obviously, I've known my brother, well, his whole life, because that's how that works. And it's been crazy seeing him grow up and, like, become so Sagittarius. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously as a kid, it's like, you know, you're just a kid. And now he's, like, 20 years old. And I'm like, oh my God, you're such a Sagittarius. And it's the same thing with, like, the fire sign kind of just, like, balancing me out. Like, I love going in public with him because he will do anything that I'm afraid to do, which is, like, so great for me personally. Like, I make him order stuff when we, like, go places. Not, like, at a sit-down restaurant. I can order my own food. Let me make that very clear. I'm not, like, this, like, weird... I'm not, like, hiding my face, like, not speaking. But just, like, in general, he just, like, goes and does things because he just, like, has no fear in that sense. And I just can't relate to that. So, I don't know. I guess a bitch loves fire signs, you could say. People I don't like... Not that you asked that. Oh, no, you did ask that. Least favorite astrological signs. Least favorite. I also would say not even my least favorite, but just like I don't know as many people that are these signs. You know what I mean? First of all, Aries traditionally I do not like. So besides my one friend, I would say that I feel like I would butt heads with a lot of Aries because I feel like they're just as kind of stubborn as Tauruses are. Also... probably like Gemini, but again, I don't know many Geminis. Also, it's like a thing in astrology where the signs that kind of sandwich yours. So for me, it's Aries and Gemini. You don't get along with very well. And so that completely tracks to me because I would say those are probably like stereotypically my least favorite of the signs. But I don't know. I definitely don't like, I never am like judging anyone based on their sign, but I think it's so cool when you meet someone and then you find out what their sign is and you're like, oh yeah, no, that tracks totally. And that just like is making a lot of sense in my head. Okay. Someone wrote in and said, I just have to know your favorite Dolan twin. I don't have one. I was never a Dolan twins girl. I was when they were part of the sister squad. Is that what it was called? Then I liked them. To this day though, I can't really pick them apart. So I definitely didn't know them well enough to have a favorite, unfortunately. So I'm sorry to disappoint in that sense. That is my bad at the end of the day. My bad. Maddie, so glad I came across your content. Lately, I feel more seen and heard on so many levels. You know what? Can you guys stop being so nice to me? Because, and by that I mean, obviously don't stop. Obviously don't stop in any capacity. But I had someone reach out to me a while ago saying that she was in college and she listens to the podcast all the time because she's in a stage of her life where she doesn't have a lot of friends that she's hanging out with. And so she likes listening to the podcast because it feels like she has a friend. And I started sobbing because I have been in that stage in my life too many times. So many times I've gone through time periods where I just felt so lonely, and I have found comfort in so many podcasts and things like that. And so that literally made my entire day. And it is like so crazy to be in a position now where I feel like I can do that for other, I can be that person for other people. Like that is so insane and 100% like the coolest thing about having a podcast and having, you know, a platform in general. I love that. I love, love, love that. So thank you for sharing that if you have ever shared that with me, because that really does mean the world to me. Anyways, I'm just gonna get to the rest of this before I start getting too sappy. Okay, started a new job, office environment, and mostly male dominated. As if this wasn't enough, the male doing male things, like giving unsolicited advice whenever they sense a conversation that has nothing to do with them. Classic. But the absolute worst thing in describing this as an ick wouldn't give it enough dimension, in my humble opinion. They add sound to their yawns. They push them out. That's an interesting way to describe a yawn. Not you pushing out your yawn. Not like politely with a covering hand over the mouth, more like they're bench pressing 200 kilograms in the gym. No shame, no nothing. I feel like I'm in the fucking zoo. What do I do to survive? This is a really great question. And I was going to say unfortunately, but it when you really think about it, it is very fortunate. I've never worked in a male-dominated space. I've always had women boss. I've always had girl bosses. I always have. And I, you know, I worked in marketing, particularly social media, which marketing in general, pretty female dominated field. You get into social media, it becomes even more female dominated. So I've always kind of been in that space, which I feel so blessed for. The more horror stories I hear of people working in these really, really toxic masculinity office vibes, that's not something I could personally persevere through, I don't think. I did, however, and this is like kind of related, but like not really. I worked in an office in college. All 4 years of college, I worked in the admissions office. And basically what I did there was, you know, I would do their mailings that they would send out. So I was just like stuffing envelopes and like putting labels and stamps on things. That was really the extent of my job. Loved it. Couldn't get enough of it. I loved that job so much. But I would work this one shift. It was probably like my junior year. And it was usually, because I went to a small school and the admissions office was small. So usually when I was working there, I would have like one or two other students working at that time with me. If not, I would just be by myself. And then it was like the women who worked in this admissions office. And there was one time when I was working with this guy, and he was probably a year younger than me. And the building that we worked in was this like really, really old building. It was like the building that they used in all of the like picturesque photos that they would use for marketing materials at the school. But it was a decrepit building, and it was, I loved it. I literally loved this building. It was fully haunted, fully haunted. And I had to go into the basement a lot by myself, which I think I should have gotten workers' comp for, because that was terrifying. And terrifying. It was literally so terrifying. But besides the point, there was all these like really skinny kind of narrow staircases, and it was, this building had been like a home at one point. So it was not like set up the way of a traditional office building in any way, shape, or form. And all this to say that we had to move boxes a lot, because we would get these massive boxes that would have all these mailers in them that we would be sending up, and we would have to bring them upstairs to our office. And then a lot of the times when we were done with the mailing, we'd have to bring it down to where they would pick up the mail and everything. So we were doing a lot of schlepping. We were schlepping up and down the stairs all the time, and that was fine. That was something I could kind of make peace with, because the boxes were heavy. They were not that heavy. Like, they were heavy, but not that heavy. You know what I mean? So one time I was working with this one other kid, and my boss was like, oh, can you guys bring these boxes, I don't know, upstairs or downstairs, wherever she wanted them. And I just was like, yeah, sure. I had my like headphones in. I was always listening to a podcast when I was at this job because it was pretty mindless work. I had this podcast in my headphones, and I took these boxes, and I was like, you know, running up and down the stairs with these boxes to take them where they were supposed to go. This kid that I was working with, he felt this massive need to be the man in this situation. So while I was being a rational, sane human being, taking one box at a time, he felt that he had to take it upon himself to take at least two boxes every time. And these boxes were massive. And, you know, a lot of the times when you're carrying boxes, what a weird tangent I'm going on here. It's not even about the weight of the box. It's about like the size and how like weirdly bulky it is. And it can be like weird to carry. And that was the case with these boxes. So it was actually so stupid of him to try and take two, because they were so large and bulky that it was like, you're just making this so much harder for yourself. And I remember I had done like six laps. I'd done like six times going up the stairs, down the stairs, up the stairs, down the stairs, before he could even figure out how to stack these two boxes and carry them. And you could tell this was like really, really hurting his ego that I was quite literally running laps around him. And he did not take too kindly to that. And he really kind of like let it show. And then he eventually huffed and puffed and decided to just take one box at a time. But then he realized that he was so behind. I ended up taking probably 8 of the 10 boxes, and he took the last 2. And it really, it's just hard to work in a space with egos that are that big. Do you know what I mean? Because an ego that's that large is extremely fragile. And that's just, there's something so like, just grow up. Just take one box at a time. You know what I mean? And it feels infantile to have to be like, can you just stop whatever show you're trying to put on and just take a box? Just take one box. Because now you're actually refraining from being helpful in any capacity because of your ego. And that's not fair to anyone. That was my one story about working ever with a man. So anyways, what to do about these men's yawns? Here's the thing. Unfortunately, there is nothing you can do specifically in regards to their yawns. But I think generally speaking, you're saying that they're offering unsolicited advice, blah, blah, blah. Like that's something that you can actively kind of not stand for and make that known. And this comes back to, say it with me, setting boundaries. This is what we have to do. This is a great way to end out the year, is to be thinking about how much we should be setting boundaries. Okay. If one of your coworkers feels the need to tell you how to do something that has nothing to do with him in any capacity, you should literally be able to say, no, I'm fine with the way that I was going to do that, actually. No, that's okay. I think I got it covered. Thanks so much for your input, but I'm all set. That's totally okay to say to someone. And if they're put off by that, then they'll end up making a bigger ass of themselves, which will be hopefully funny. And it'll just make you look unbothered. I think that's kind of the biggest thing. And it's so unfortunate that so often women are put in situations where they're just like, I guess I just have to deal with it. Because that's not fair, right? But when you're so heavily outnumbered, it's like you kind of just have to do what you can to get by. And I think a good way to start is by setting those boundaries, by not letting them tell you how to do things, not letting them, if a person in this office has no actual authority over you, do not let them tell you jack shit. Unless they are being genuinely, you know, sincere and helpful. Don't let them know. Just say, that's great. I'm all set. And if that makes them look at you as being kind of curt and kind of like, ooh, she thinks she's better than us. Good. Good, because you are better than them. And obviously that's not an ideal way to operate in an office space. But if you would rather them look at you as like, oh, never mind, she doesn't want our advice, than to have them look at you as like this weak person, which is so gross that like that's what they gravitate towards. Like, oh, she doesn't know what she's doing. She needs our help. I think the more you can shut it down, hopefully the more it'll become a habit for them to just keep their mouth shut. It's so important to kind of train them in that sense to not offer their opinion when it's not being asked. And that is really becoming such a life skill, which is so sad, because that shouldn't be a life skill, if you ask me. Learning to keep your mouth shut, that should just be something you're able to do. It should just be something that comes naturally to you, but it doesn't come naturally to them. But I don't know what to do about their yawns. Unfortunately, I literally have no idea what to do about that. Make it a game? Make it a drinking game? I'm kidding. Well, I don't know. You know, whatever helps you. I'm not promoting drinking at work. I want to make that clear. But you could keep a tally. Keep a tally of how often they yawn obnoxiously. And when you get to 100, take yourself out for a drink. There you go. Make it a fun little game. That's fun. I like that. I actually feel really good about giving that advice. Okay. Okay. We're going to end this episode with this story time. So one Christmas, we had all gotten together for Christmas dinner when oddly my grandma just didn't turn up. Obviously we assumed she was dead because that's always the first thought about your MIA grandma. Hey, that's fair. Honestly, that is fair. Suddenly there's a knock at the door and there stood two policemen. So again, we automatically thought they were here to tell us that she had passed away. It turned out that actually she had been arrested for getting into not one, but two fights. One with a woman who got her wig pulled off her head by my grandma, putting her car key in it and ragging it clean off her head. And then the other with her ex-husband. She punched the ex-husband's friend in the face, flipped a table, and then proceeded to throw whatever was in her hand at the husband. The police were super kind to her and let her go a few hours later, and she rocked up to our house like nothing had happened because she was an absolute legend. Some may say she ruined Christmas that year, but I truly feel in my heart of hearts like there was, never was, and never will be a Christmas as good as that. Okay, as your grandma committing an assault, multiple assaults in one day? Grandma, what are you, is she the Grinch? She's giving Scrooge, kind of. I did not see that going that way. At first I was like, oh, the grandma got into two fights. That's like kind of haha silly. What? She punched a man in the face? I really need to know the context of all of this. Like, what was going on? What led her to punch this man in the face? Also, where did she come across this woman with the wig on Christmas Day? Where is she running into these people where she is just throwing hands? Wow, Grandma. Did Grandma get run over by a reindeer? Sorry, I had to say it. But she obviously was not on the nice list that year. Also had to say that. I mean, we all kind of saw that one coming. I'm so sorry. Wow, that is crazy. Here's a serious question for you. Did you know that your grandma had violent tendencies? Was that something that you had been made aware of prior? Or was that like genuinely a surprise? Because if I found out that my grandma got in a fist fight, I would be not really surprised. Not really. So I'm needing to know if this was a shock to you and you had like a sweet little old lady grandma where you're like, what the fuck? She literally punched someone? Because that makes this so much funnier, I would say. Wow. Thank you for sharing the story of your violent grandmother. And Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. I will chat with you next week in 2024. Wow, that's a crazy sentence. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast today and this entire year. Can't thank you enough, but I feel like I already have, so I'm not going to do it again. But seriously, thank you. There, I did it again. Shoot. I will chat with you guys next week. Happy New Year and Merry, Merry Christmas. Bye, guys.